Hello, listeners, and welcome to yet another episode of Building It Up with Bertelsmann. I am Ankur Variku, your host, and this is India's first podcast that features and focuses on the growth story of Indian startups. In today's episode, we have someone who has played multiple roles in the Indian ecosystem. Someone who's been a serial entrepreneur, someone who's been a deep thinker, a mentor, an angel investor, and so much more. Kunal Shah. Kunal is fondly remembered as the CEO of FreeCharge, which got acquired by Snapdeal for $400 million in 2015. Post that, he spent a lot of time actively angel investing, deep thinking, served in mentorship roles, and now is on course to start his new venture. There is so much that Kunal shares and thinks about that it's a pleasure to have him on this episode. Thank you so much, Kunal, for sparing time and coming to Building It Up with Bertelsmann. It's a pleasure to have you.
Thank you for having me over here.
You've been through this really rapid curve of starting up a business, taking it to massive scales and selling it. And what has been the true difference between when you were starting up, the 0 to 10, the 0 to 1 journey, and what did it take for you to make it into this phenomenal growth success that was the 10 to 100 journey? So let's begin with the early days of FreeCharge. It was, deals was a crowded space. This was all over. There was Groupon. There was daily deals. This is all that phenomena. And you come in riding on the fact of mobile recharges and deals combined. Was that an idea you knew would be successful from day one?
I have generally been a guy who likes to plan better versus fail fast.
Okay.
I don't believe in the fail fast strategy. I think a very disastrous thing. I think fail fast is a great strategy in a very high per capita market where your worst case outcomes are also decent. Over here, you can get wiped out. And I think those 3-4 years can actually wipe you out. My view is that the reason I knew it will work is because we had done probably surveys of thousands of users showing them the prototype of the product. Only when we felt 95% of people were actually saying yes, that they would use something like that, we launched it. In fact, I remember not even writing a single line of code till we did full research, full prototyping, surveys, everything.
Wow.
And then we actually we did not even have a developer in house. We actually got developed by somebody in Noida who built it for 2 lakh rupees for us. So the first version of FreeCharge, which ran for 6 months, which scaled to 20,000 transactions a day, was actually not built in house. So I do not believe 0 to 1 is something that you can just go by gut and just hope for things to work out. I think Indian entrepreneurs have the curse of not doing enough research. It's not a culture. We usually ask other people what they're doing. And I think FreeCharge, therefore, one of the probably few original ideas that happened from India, right?
Yeah.
And it's unfortunate. I believe that Indian entrepreneurs have so many opportunities to do as long as they look at user behavior. But I think our education system has not really trained us on looking at consumer behavior or even knowing what is human behavior. And therefore, we tend to just look at global models and try to apply them over here and fail miserably a lot of times.
And when you found the early success, when you scaled up to that 20,000, what was the next phase of FreeCharge all about? Which I imagine would have been hiring the team, getting that technology in-house, figuring out more brands, perhaps creating that marketplace. And how was that Kunal different from the Kunal that started it?
I think I had some unique struggle. I'm actually not a tech founder. I'm not from a technology background. I'm a philosophy major. So I could not just call 4 of my alumni and just say, "Ajao, karte hain," and I could not do any of that. So I had to, I remember for the most senior executives that I hired, they would not believe that I'm that large. So I would take them to my office, show them the servers, show them the logs, actual logs to make them believe. Some of the guys actually take them to board meetings with me to convince that we are this big. So I think there are pros and cons of that. The pros is that most people don't realize that you are big enough and they don't come after you. And small means the worst is that talent is a harder thing, right? I remember in Bangalore when we moved, so we moved the team from Bombay to Bangalore because we could not scale the tech team over there for the volume of transactions that we were already doing. And I remember that the way we hired is that we actually took over that time, there was a new Batman movie coming. So we took the entire Thursday night full theater out, and the 16 people that we wanted to bring, we invited them to come for the movie. And before the movie, we played a trailer that joined this cool team. We called it the Freaks and Geeks, and we convinced 4 or 5 people to join through a movie, right?
That's a cool idea.
Some of these guys were like extraordinary hires. They continue to be with me in the new startup also. But it was not easy for us. But I think I'm glad it was not easy for us because we'd never had a chance to make silly mistakes. We had to be sure about every move we made. I think Overcapitalized startups have the curse of that, right? They tend to make a lot many mistakes with their money versus their brain. I think you tend to make lesser mistakes if you use your brain more than your money.
Yeah.
But I think people don't do that kind of stuff. So I think the difference between a 0 to 1 or 1 to 10 or 10 to 100 is to know what are you really built for. Mm. For me, it was very important to realize that I need to bring somebody else to run some of these stuff like product tech, whatever. So I had got an external CEO and I was in a company without a title for like almost 2 years.
Yeah.
Not because, and I think that comes from not having insecurity, right? Mm-hmm. I think Indian founders, most people I know, they are still trying to prove to their friends and family and their batchmates that they are really special. But I think, I don't think you can be a great entrepreneur if your source of energy is insecurity.
Yeah.
Right? I think it has to be something a lot more holier than that. Yeah. And I think that can only come when you have these kind of things. And therefore, in fact, when I sold the company, most people would come up to me and say, oh shit, something went wrong. But I had like $95 million in the bank when I sold the company. So I was not doing a distress sale. But I think in India, we treat exit as defeat.
Hmm.
We are still in a tribal mindset where we think companies are these empires and they are fighting against each other. And when you defeat, you are basically giving up against the company. But I think we don't understand capitalism at all over here. And people treat their companies like their spouses. Like, okay, if you lose this, like, but it's like companies are like kids. You have to just get them to that point.
Yeah.
And after that, probably they are not best for you to run, somebody else to run. Yeah. And sometimes the decision works out and does not work out. But I think we are at a very, very early stage of, in fact, I did a Facebook survey on my own social media page and asked how many of you have studied capitalism in India in education. Only 16% people said yes.
Yeah.
84% have never studied capitalism. So I cannot imagine how can we build a capitalistic society where we don't understand what is capitalism. For example, the classic example is that I see educated people talk about petrol prices going up. I've never seen people argue about why their income is not going up. If a country cannot understand the difference between prices going up and income not going up or per capita not going up, how do we become a great economy? I don't know.
In the days that FreeCharge was becoming a big success, there was a lot of competition as well.
Yes.
And it was well-capitalized competition. There was competition that was just simply aping what you were doing. How did you navigate through that? What was going on inside your mind? How did you know that you still had a chance and the others would not make it?
I think we had the fortune of being the innovators and misfortune of being the innovators, right? I think the fortune is that you can do things that you did before most people did. But if you do not have enough capital or execution capabilities to be able to scale faster, somebody who's copying you will actually benefit from that, right? In fact, the joke used to be that I'm the chief innovation officer of the entire category, not just my company, right? Because we would design new features, new campaign ideas, everything, and it'll just get copied. But I think that's not an excuse for you to not become big.
Sure.
I think big learning for me was that when you are creating an original idea, right? Half the time I answered questions that, oh, so how are you like Groupon? And I'm like, there's nothing close to Groupon. And then I would say, I'm not a mobile recharge company. I'm like, I think when you create a new category, I don't think we have the level of investors in the ecosystem to be able to understand how a new category formation happens, right? So they look for global buckets to fit you in. But India is not a global bucket. I'll give you a small example of how to understand India, right?
Yeah.
If this podcast was done in China, most likely we will be speaking in Chinese.
Yeah.
If it was done in Korea, we'll be speaking in Korean. But only in India, we speak in English because 25 countries have come together and are cooperating through a neutral platform, which is English. Right? So English is our neutral platform. Guess what our neutral sport is? It's cricket, which is not from India. Guess what our neutral office food party is? Pizza, not from India. Guess our neutral beverage? Tea, not from India. Samosa, not from India. Biryani, not from India. Khichdi, not from India.
Beer, not from India.
And we forget these things. And then we wonder, I think we underestimate the power of neutral platforms coming to this country and helping people come together. In fact, if you notice one thing, that the per capita difference between people who can speak and read and write English is multiple X of people who cannot, right? So English is the language of prosperity.
Yeah.
We cannot deny that. By doing the populist democratic agenda of trying to peddle language and local language and changing boards with local languages, can we become more rich? No. So I think we are confused as a nation. And I think the problem is that even the guys who are employed by capitalism are thinking like socialists. and they don't get it.
Have you ever considered joining politics?
No, I think it's most ineffective way to change a society.
What is that?
I think building companies which move masses, right? I think one would, what is the clout Facebook has to change a human behavior at scale versus a political party?
I so agree with that.
So I think that power is something that we underestimate. What is the power, let's say, Vijay Shekhar has from Paytm to be able to influence the next set of entrepreneurs versus a politician, right? So I think we have to play the game that people aspire to be. I think politics is best designed for people who are trying to acquire power, not to change society.
Got it. Okay. And that's well said. Let me go back to your Free Charge days. The one thing that stands out is in your admission, you are a non-techie founder. Mm-hmm. And back then it was almost a curse. Like, how the fuck do I even navigate? Yes. Okay. And couldn't agree more. How did you go about building a team, knowing that you're this, if I may use the word, this maverick idea guy? Like, you're always buzzing with ideas. You always know what could be tried and tested next. And engineers, on the other hand, like the sense of comfort, the level of trust, the stability of structure. Yes, for sure. Was it hard building that team? And how did you navigate?
I think it was hard. But I think whenever we wish to go to people and say that, hey, this company is already doing 10 times more transactions than Flipkart is doing today. that was something that you could kind of play on and tell the engineers that this is a company that you have to, like, when we sold the company, we're doing close to 1 million transactions a day, right? And that is with barely any capital. We spent like probably $19 million to get there. Now that is very powerful for a lot of people to understand. And I think the good guys know the difference, right? And I think, I don't think it's about tech, it's about being logical, right? Sure. If you can make a logical argument and have the intellectual honesty to accept certain things that you don't know. And so for what as a strategy I adopted, I adopted a strategy of default trust. So this is how it worked. Basically, I would just not do the business of doing review culture. I would just give goals to people and tell them that if they need any help to achieve that goal, they can come to me anytime. I will never do any review.
Sure.
And that created a very different kind of monsters in my team, right? Okay. So it was a very different kind of a culture. I reversed the review culture, saying that there was no Monday morning review and Tuesday evening review or whatever. I'll just say, this is the goal. This is the timeline to achieve that goal. You can come to me anytime if you're facing any bottlenecks to achieve that goal. And that, I think India, we are not used to giving trust to people, right? One tech problem that we solved, hiring a lot of people who take the offer letters and not join last moment. I'm sure you must have faced that too, right?
So what? I love this example. Go on.
Yeah. So what we did is that we started giving MacBooks along with the offer letter, right? And I remember my HR teams freaked out saying that, what if people run away with this MacBook? And I said, it's a great cost to pay for getting an unethical person to not join the company. So let's just let go of that MacBook. By the way, no, we never lost a single MacBook. We had, on an average, 15 days before the joining date, people would start. Like, for example, right now, there are 16 guys who are working in my office right now who have not left the previous job. They're coming in the evenings and spending time in the office. And that kind of trust does not work in this. But for example, I asked this question, and I'm thinking of doing this myself, saying that, why should a funded company pay at the end of the month? Why can't I give salary on the first of the month? Why do we have this crazy 3-month notice periods? If the guy is checked out, let him go. Why are you trying to be insecure about his position? Like, what kind of team is that? So I think I'm learning that India mistrust is a massive problem. And people get shocked when they are trusted.
They almost like, ye kyun ho raha hai? What's in it for him? Why is he being nice?
And it turns into be a very positive surprise for a lot of people. They like this environment. And I think we have to learn that wealth is not a zero-sum game, right? And toxicity comes when we think that, like, tribal mindset, ke itna hi khet hai, itna hi jungle hai, and we have to do a zero-sum game. Wealth is unlimited here.
Okay. Once Free Charge exit happened, you took what I would call a pause, and you reassessed a lot of things. You became an active angel investor. You went on stage, spoke a lot about your thoughts and processes. Delta 4. How did that change what your view was? So you'd so far played an active, hands-on entrepreneurial role. Now you are stepping back and learning about everything through the eyes of others.
So 2-3 things. First is that if there are 3 things that you can bet on: product, team, and market. The only thing that guarantees success is market.
Yes. Okay. And that's very counterintuitive and against all conventional wisdom.
And it's funny thing, I see Twitter polls when do these things, they ask between these 3 which one wins. Usually team wins.
Yeah.
Because markets cannot vote on Twitter. So it's a very stupid thing for people to think. And I think markets is a one big thing. So you have to go for fertile markets or where the existing core motivation or core behavior exists.
Yeah.
The second thing I've noticed is that there is a clear difference between compounding founders and non-compounding founders, right?
Explain.
Like, the compounding founders are not waiting for this podcast.
Hmm.
They have already figured out and they are learning from 500 different sources, constantly asking different things. For example, if I have a dumb question, Ankur, I will call you.
Yes.
Right? And I have shamelessly called you multiple times in the past asking dumb questions.
Yes.
But in history of running FreeCharge, when I had access to everybody's data consumption behavior, I did not get a call from a single founder asking me, Kunal, ye recharge ka behavior kaise hota hai, log kya karte hain, data se kya karte hain.
Correct.
Whereas we had all the data for that.
Yeah.
Right? And I think there is just, I think we have just less collaborative behavior, right? We are thinking that we are building all these. This is the whole empire tribe building thing, right? But capitalism does not work that way. Capitalism is constant flow of information and knowledge, which we don't do. People claim that as success, which is wrong. I think the third thing that I learned through that exercise was that, and I was in Y Combinator for a year as a part-time partner, I realized that the delta of early stage founders that US had to India had like 10x delta.
Wow.
Like, I would literally be like 30 minutes question answer session with an early stage startup in YC versus India. Like, I would be brain fried in 30 minutes because they would ask me such penetrating questions that I would just like to realign myself and reassess what I'm thinking about. Over here, I would not get intellectually challenged, right? Yeah. And I think that's when I realized that the early stage ecosystem is like extremely basic. And by the way, it's not that knowledge is not out there, right? There are thousands of videos of YC out there. There are hundreds of books to read from. You can go to China and see what is happening. But like our awareness of that is like probably at minus 10.
Yeah.
So I think we love the idea of being an entrepreneur, being called an entrepreneur and founder and saying I'm doing a startup. I don't think we are really interested in becoming extremely successful or becoming wealthy. I think, I make a poor joke sometimes. It's like, no, when we were growing up, there used to be an ad called as Tobu Cycle, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, sab log nikal pade Tobu Cycle, right? Like that's not the objective of doing startups, right? So, but it's unfair. I think a lot of people, if were trained properly or aware about certain good things, they would do better things. And I think, unfortunately, like, only news will come out isne itna funding raise kar liya.
Yeah.
Like, the deep insight, deep research. For example, let's say I was doing a survey this morning about how QR code behavior is shaped into that. I have not seen a single article come about that, right? Is it happening, not happening? Are Indians adopting it, not adopting it? Why are they not adopting it? Why are merchants not adopting it? Neither the customers know, neither journalists know, neither the founders are interested. So how are we learning for the next game? So if I have to build, let's say, a new next merchant startup, right? Let's say I was to make a nearby competition.
Yeah.
What is the learning that you're taking?
Yeah.
Right? And I think if I do the same mistakes that you've already made, I'll take three lifetimes to become better than you.
Exactly.
Right? So how is that very smart?
Yeah.
So I think general curiosity is very low. Arrogance is extremely high.
There's a lot of anger in you, man.
Not anger. I think I just find
disappointment in who we've become or who we are, who we always were.
I just feel that the potential of the country and the IQ that we've got and the attitude that we have has such a big delta. And I meet some Chinese founders and I meet some international founders and I get scared that we'll get wiped out.
You actually have, you mentioned, you have Chinese interns working for you in your latest startup.
Yeah. Dude, how do I get rub off of that culture unless I go proactively hiring some of them, right? In fact, it's a funny story. The first week of the Chinese startup, he walks up to my another Indian intern. So Chinese intern goes to an Indian intern, asks this question that, why are people talking all day in office? And honestly, it was a big shock for me because when I've gone to China or US, people don't talk in the office all the time.
They don't. Your biggest stint at FreeCharge was focused, if I may call, at the mass market, right? So it literally was everyone who had a mobile phone and could recharge, come here and we'll give you freebies. You started on your next gig. And I don't know how much of your how much of it can you speak about, but is it going to be in the same territory? Is it something that you've loved, would want to continue
with?
I
think wealth creation is a function of going into places where there is less crowd.
Yes.
Because competition in a country with such shallow market like India
can be
only causes bleeding.
Yes.
Right? And I think the market is not deep enough for you to get returns for kind of bleeding you do. Now, people who are already in that phase, they cannot come out of it because they have signed up for it.
Yeah.
But if you are starting up, it makes sense to go after sectors which are, let's say, less served or less competitive from a brand perspective. So when I did recharge, mass was not an interesting segment. In fact, I have never used prepaid in my life. A lot of founders say, I had this problem, so I solved it for myself. I think it's a usually post-narrative that they've mostly fixed to look good. But I think for me, it was the highest selling product.
Yeah.
And if I could make it free, I knew I can create footfalls.
Yeah.
So very simple.
Simple as that.
Right. And I believe that India will come first to recharge online than to buy shot online.
Correct.
And that's still the truth.
Yes.
Right. So even now, only 15% of market is recharging online. So, kaha hum shot bechenge usko? So I think that is the key difference, right? You have to understand the market's current needs. So I'm trying to stay away from the mass market because it's extremely crowded, right? Now, it's very early to talk about some other thing, but I'm trying to stay away from the mass market and trying to build a different dimension. I'm trying to go away from the definition of mass and non-mass. I'm trying to create a new category.
Okay, interesting. Okay, all right. But you definitely know will not be repeated or should not be repeated this time around.
I think if I have to avoid a few mistakes, I would say that just because it's not been done before, I should not be less confident about it. I think that was a big mistake that I used to always wonder that how come nobody's done it? And like then I would be like, am I being stupid? Like, I think that doubt, that has got solved because I've worked with like now probably 50-100 startups, helped them different ways. So I've been on a lab mode with 50 startups, right? So I've already tested some of the hypotheses over there.
Yeah.
And the second thing I would is speed of execution, right? I think it's like a combination of a Krishna and Arjun, right? So if you've got someone like Krishna knowing the direction, then you need a guy like Arjun who's executing, right? Yeah. So if you are to just get that combination right, you cannot have one and not have the other, right? So I'm trying to bring that balance.
Nicely put.
And let's see. There is no guarantee that it'll work, but you have to do your best.
Right. And any fruitful advice that you have got from someone else that you're like blown away with? Like, wow, this is super useful.
I think it's multiple things. What I can think about right now I was told, this is exactly the Krishna Arjun example. I think one person told me that there are great guys who can come at a point and decide which path to take. And there are different guys who can run from point A to point B after the path has been discovered. Right? So you need to know the difference of when you need to bring what kind of people and who do you need to be at that time of time. Right? So I think that's been the big advice, that people who can take a decision on which road to take and then how fast to run. Right? So I think that's the... it sounds obvious, but it's not obvious to us a lot of times.
Is there a hidden advice in this as well, that don't try to be both for yourself?
It's impossible for somebody to become both.
Yeah, but we try.
Because we are trying to be founders and trying to do that. But I think it's always good to over-index on being one and compensate that by having somebody who's with you who's... Or be good at the other
one.
Right? And have complete faith on each other's capabilities to... Yeah. Pull that off.
Which is a big leap, given how trust efficient the culture is.
Yes.
Yeah. Great. On that note, thank you so much, Kunal. This was fun, just as much as I expected. And thank you for being as candid as you always are. And
thank you for having me, Matt.
Thank you.
With that, Kunal has left us with his wisdom. There was so much to take away. I love his brutal honesty. I love how he just cuts through the chase and delivers what he genuinely thinks about. I hope you thoroughly enjoyed this episode just as much as I did. Don't forget to subscribe to our episodes on iTunes or on Savon or SoundCloud or wherever else that you get your podcast from. This is Ankur Variku, your host. And until the next episode, goodbye.